Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church, another beautiful Sunday where we can praise our God and thank Him for His grace. Big service today. Today we are looking at stewardship. Now, a lot of times when people think of stewardship, they think money. And rightfully so. God has blessed us with a lot of things. But today we're going to realize just it's not just money, it's everything that God gives us that we can give back to Him. And so we'll talk about how generous God is with us and how that motivates us to be generous back to Him today. Today we'll also celebrate, well, we'll see all of the means of grace in action this morning. We'll see the Word of God as we hear it and understand it. We'll have a baptism where we see the power of God connected, the Word of God and its power connected with water, giving the forgiveness of sins. We'll also have the forgiveness of sins in the Lord's Supper later on, so all of the means of grace going on today. God be praised. With the Lord's Supper today, we will also prepare our minds and hearts to receive the body and blood of the Lord, so prepare yourselves for that. If you are a visitor here with us today, we direct your attention to a little paragraph on the inside part of the inside cover of the bulletin. If you have any questions, please see one of the pastors after the service. Now we'll begin our service today with our opening hymn, and I'll let Susan introduce what we're going to do today. God bless your worship.
Please join me in all the verses of praise to the Lord, the Almighty. I'll direct you in each verse.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Oh, my
please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all that they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated.
Please join me in a song of praise. Oh, that we had 1,000 tongues to praise our Lord. Please note verses 3 and 5, our solos.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, look with favor on your humble servants and stretch out the right hand of your power to defend us against all our enemies. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Continue now with a baptism. You can follow along in the red hymnal books in front of you there on page 12. God is good. In obedience to the command of our Lord and trusting in his promise, you and I have brought this child to be baptized. Jesus told us, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." It is in baptism that God grants the new life of forgiveness, joy, and peace to little children. By the power of God's word, this gracious water of life washes away sin, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe. Now receive the sign of the cross on the head and the heart. To mark you as a redeemed child of Christ. Samira Betty Groth, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit has forgiven all your sins. By your baptism, you are born again and made a dear child of your Father in heaven. May God strengthen you to live in your baptismal grace all the days of your life. Peace be with you. Please stand. Brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord commands that we teach his precious truths to all who are baptized. Christian love, therefore, urges all of us, especially parents and sponsors, to assist in whatever manner possible so that Zemira may remain a child of God until death. If you are willing to carry out this responsibility, then answer, yes, as God gives me strength.
Yes, as God gives me strength.
Let us pray. Merciful Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessing of baptism, by which you offer and grant the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Help us to regard our baptism as the robe of righteousness we are to wear all the days of our life. Look with special favor on Zemira and grant her a rich measure of your Spirit that she may grow in faith and godly living. Make us willing to carry out our responsibilities to those who have been baptized, so that all of us may finally come to the blessed joys of heaven. For our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. You too. You can keep that. Yeah. Sorry, not sorry for crying. We now go to the scripture readings. We saw the powerful word of God, just forgive my daughter's sins. Now we're going to see the powerful word of God declare some things to us today. So as we take a look at how generous our God is with how he forgives us, we also recognize how generous we get to be with everything that he gives us. From 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Then King David said to the whole assembly, "My son Solomon, the one whom God has chosen, is young and inexperienced. The task is great because this palatial structure is not for man, but for the Lord God. With all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God: gold for the gold work, silver for the silver, bronze for the bronze, iron for iron, and wood for the wood, as well as onyx for the settings, turquoise, stones of various colors, and all kinds of fine stone and marble, all of these in large quantities. Besides, in my devotion to the temple of my God, I now give my personal treasures of gold and silver for the temple of my God. Over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple, 3,000 talents of gold, gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver for the overlaying of the walls of the buildings, for the gold work and for the silver work, and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now, who is willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord today?" Then the leaders of families, the officers of the tribes of Israel, the commanders of thousands and the commanders of hundreds, and the officials in charge of the king's work gave willingly. They gave toward the work on the temple of God 5,000 talents and 5,000 derricks of gold, 10,000 talents of silver, 18,000 talents of bronze, and 100,000 talents of iron. Anyone who had precious stones gave them to the treasury of the temple of the Lord in the custody of Jehiel the Gershonite. The people rejoiced at the willing response of the leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I, and who are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. This is the word of the Lord.
Our motivation to give is that God has been so generous to us by giving us his Son. And that love is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
The second lesson today comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. If you're an astute reader, you notice that this is not 2 Corinthians chapter 8 that's typed here. You can certainly read this. This is the first chapter, not the eighth chapter. Read this on your own at home. That's awesome. But I'm still going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. So you'll have to listen to my voice. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul directs our attention and focuses us on the main reason why we give generously. It's a good reminder. From 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know that about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. So we urged Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this great act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. This is the word of the Lord.
My Jesus Christ, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty side and to become the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. O wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. This gift of love they crucified, they laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a fraud and sacrificed the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. O wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side to be led by your staff and rod and to be called a Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. O wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God.
Please stand in honor of the gospel. The gospel for today comes from Mark chapter 14, which will also serve as the sermon text for today. From Mark 14. Now the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want, but you will not always have me." She did what she could, She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated for the hymn of the day.
Please join me in all verses of Brothers, Sisters, Let Us Gladly.
Brothers, sisters, let us gladly give to God all our best service hearty, thorough, honest, with the
lesson that was read a few moments ago from Mark chapter 14. Familiar with the name of Gustave Doré? He was a famous painter who excelled in painting the faces of Jesus. We'll take a time out here.
We thank God for his generous gift of batteries.
By the way, your tech team is awesome. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Is that better? Where was I? Oh, Gustave Doré painted faces of Jesus. And one day as he was painting the latest version, a woman walked quietly into his studio, and after a little bit he noticed that she was there, and he said, "Oh, pardon me, madam, I didn't realize you were there." And she said, "Oh, Monsieur Doré, you must love Jesus a lot because of how you paint him so beautifully." And he said in return, "Madam, I do love Jesus, But if I loved him more, I would paint him better. That really describes our lives as Christians when we reflect on how God has revealed himself so wonderfully to us and respond in spirit-worked joy and generosity, then we exhibit what Mr. Doré exhibited. And in our text for this morning, we see another example of that, of the woman whose story is portrayed on the video screen for you. We see that the more we love Jesus, the better our lives of response to Jesus' love become. And so this morning we'll spend a few moments talking about how Christ's love and the Christian's love is extravagant, and Jesus enables and commends this kind of love. If you pay attention in the scriptures, you'll notice that this particular event in Christ's ministry occurred very close before Holy Week, maybe even during Holy Week itself. He's with his disciples in the home of Simon the leper in Bethany, and may have been invited by Simon into his house, perhaps because the Lord had healed Simon of his leprosy. At any rate, as they're reclining and eating the meal, a woman quietly walks in with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. According to Google, $3,000 an ounce. And she breaks it open and pours it over his head. That's the story. In a few seconds, I told it, but there's a lot more there for us to understand. And we hear that the onlookers tell us that that particular gift was worth a whole year's worth of wages. Well, just think of how much you earn in a year. In our currency, this could be thousands and thousands of dollars that certainly must have been saved for and lovingly prepared for to be given to Jesus in this extraordinarily sensitive way. Now, you may be wondering, why would anyone do something like this, give this kind of gift to Jesus? We know from another gospel that this particular woman was named Mary, who happened to be the sister of Martha and Lazarus. And now you can maybe understand a little bit what was going on in her heart and mind. A few weeks before this, Mary and Martha had seen Jesus powerfully raise their brother Lazarus from the dead. Remember how he was entombed for 4 days? And certainly if this had happened to you or me, we would certainly be filled with awe, love, and joy at the person who powerfully, with a command, raised our loved one from the dead. But you also know there was something else unique about Mary. She was the one that wanted to serve Jesus by sitting at his feet and listening to him. And of course, Jesus wasn't commenting on the day's weather. He was telling her the good news of the kingdom of God, that God was the rule that God was establishing through the life and death of Jesus, the rule that he extends into the hearts of sinners like you and me. So by the Holy Spirit's gracious working, Mary had come to understand Jesus' love, his over-the-top, extravagant love for the whole world of sinners, including her family and her. I don't know if you've ever thought of it that way, but God's love for us sinners is extravagant. In a good way, it's excessive, it's over-the-top when you think of what he endured for us sinners. The Apostle John said it this way: "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Now, remember what we were like by nature. We hated God. We wanted nothing to do with God. We didn't want to follow his will or his word. And if we really deserve to get anything from God, he justifiably should have that place of real punishment called hell. But
God chose not to treat us that way. He chose to extravagantly love us. And he sent his best treasure, his only begotten Son, from heaven into this world. He took upon himself a human nature and walked for us and all people perfectly under God's law. And then in an even more amazing way, he allowed himself to be stretched out on the altar of the cross and there to be abandoned by his heavenly Father, which is the punishment our sins deserved. And he paid it in full, finishing it once and for all on the cross, to be raised 3 days later in joy and victory, showing our sins are forgiven. Heaven is open to us. We may live this the rest of our lives in Jesus in joy and gladness. And so, in appreciation for God's extravagant love, Mary loved Jesus extravagantly. Christ's extravagant love is the reason why we pour out our extravagant gifts to him. And we've heard some of those extravagant gifts in our readings for today. Think of how David and the leaders of the Israelites joyfully poured out their national and personal treasures to the Lord for the building of the temple. Then we heard how the Macedonians, who were in great trial and extreme poverty, begged to participate in a love offering for Christians suffering in Judea, and how the Corinthian Christians were encouraged to excel in joyful generosity. You can add the way that God moves you to respond to Christ's extravagant grace in your own lives. Each according to our ability, obviously, and not just money, as we heard Pastor mention before, but our time and our talents, our very thoughts and our words, are ways in which we can pour out to Jesus our extravagant love based on his love for us. It's unfortunate that Mary's gift of extravagant love wasn't understood or appreciated by the rest of the people sitting at the meal in the house of Simon the leper. In fact, we're told that the participants, with the exception of Jesus, actually criticized her gift and treated her quite harshly with these words: "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." In John's parallel account, we're told that the ringleader behind this criticism was none other than Judas Iscariot. And we're also told that Judas wasn't really interested in helping the poor. He just wanted that money to go into the treasury of the disciples, which he had access to, so he could take some of those funds for himself. And yet the other disciples went along with the criticism. I wonder why that was. Do you think they maybe felt ashamed that their love wasn't extravagant, wasn't as over the top as that of Mary, perhaps? And maybe at some times you've caught yourself, as I have at times, feeling resentment toward a fellow Christian when it is apparent that they serve their Lord more faithfully or more extravagant in their expression of love to Jesus. When a special ministry project or a special gift comes to our churches, like here at St. Mark's, we may be tempted to think, you know, we really don't need that. Or why should we put all of our resources, time, and efforts into that project? Maybe it happens in a voters meeting or a planning meeting when you're talking about the ministry plan for the coming years or years, and you see, wow, that's an awful lot of assets we want to dedicate to local outreach here in Citrus Heights or our global work with our brothers and sisters in Wisconsin City, and you think, maybe we don't need to do that. Sometimes people complain, like the disciples in our text, when Christians give generous gifts to the Lord's work, or they may grumble when they're being asked to take time to prayerfully and carefully review how God has blessed them and how they can use those blessings to honor the Lord and carry out his work. Could it be that at those times, what we're really thinking is, what Judas was thinking. I'd rather see that this money be used for myself. So let's be honest about it. There are times when each of us have feelings like this. Certainly we don't wake up in the morning thinking it, but at times they'll come up and snag us. But what's the real problem here? It seems to be that the real problem when those times come is that our love isn't what we want it to be. We don't love the Lord enough. It's not that we don't have enough resources or time or ability together. It's that our love is weak. And it works that way as Christians who are both saints and sinners at the same time. Okay, so now we've found the problem. Varying degrees of love for the God who has generously and extravagantly loved us. So now that we've taken care of that, we've identified the culprit, how do we solve it? Well, certainly not just by working harder, but by looking to Jesus. The solution for us is to get more of God's extravagant love into our heads and into our hearts, so we know better what he's done for us, so we're able to feel more personally how his life, death, and resurrection actually did set us at right with God for time and eternity, and how his loving rule over everything in this universe comes into our lives where we're at to help us live for him and honor him as his people. But that's going to involve some work on our parts. The way that God communicates his extravagant love through us is through the good news of Jesus, which we find in the scriptures, both the promises of Jesus as well as the fulfillment. We also find the good news of Jesus in Holy Communion, where God is giving us in a way beyond our comprehension or understanding, the very body and blood that he gave into death and poured out on the cross for our sins. Each of us who receives that can leave in peace and joy, knowing that our sins are truly forgiven and we've tasted it today. And who of us didn't have a little tear this morning as we saw another miracle of God's grace, the good news of Jesus applied personally to that young child, as it was for each of us at our various days, some of us many years ago. Baptisms like this remind us that when water is applied to us in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, our extravagantly loving God is placing his name on us. He's saying, "This child is mine." And he's giving to that child, to each of us, full forgiveness, wonderful eternal life, the guarantee of heaven. What a great blessing. And so as we reflect on our baptisms, read God's word more daily, come to worship and Bible class, we will see that we'll understand God's extravagant love better. And just as he's gone over the top in loving us, we'll want to go over the top in loving him in return. God willing, the messages that you've been hearing during this stewardship month at St. Mark's will take deep root in your heart so that you'll be able to reflect more on God's extravagant love for you and be more willing and generous in how you use your talents and time, your treasure, to Christ's glory and the benefit of the people that he places around you. Now, you may not have an alabaster jar of perfume that you can pour on Jesus' head, but you've been given talents. And so there may be times when no one else is in this room and you're here either cleaning or preparing for communion or setting up flowers or vacuuming, or maybe it's in the buildings over there and no one else is around, but you're correcting papers in the school, you're preparing a devotion for your class, or maybe no one's in that building back over there and you're typing the bulletin for another service or you're preparing a sermon. And you give it your all to the Lord Jesus. And though no one else is around, the Lord knows. He knows what's going on. He knows the gift that you're giving. And if at those times afterwards someone may criticize you, then remember how Jesus supported and defended Mary when he said, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She's done a beautiful thing to me." So even though there may be times when your heart breaks or you receive a word of criticism for something you've generously done to the Lord Jesus, don't let it crush you, because he won't. He'll sustain you. Know that he knows, and that he received your act of love, your act of extravagant love, as a pleasing thank offering for what he's already given you. What a mighty incentive for us to honor Jesus with gifts of extravagant love in response to what he's done for us, and to spur one another on to such love and good deeds. To that end, may the Holy Spirit encourage us more and more to love extravagantly as Jesus has extravagantly loved us. Amen. Would you please stand and join me as we confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed, which starts at the bottom of page 9 in your service folder. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
That we finish the course.
We now continue with prayer. I will pray on behalf of the congregation, and then we'll join in together in the Lord's Prayer. We pray. Father, we praise you for your generosity in giving us your love and your grace in every way that you do. Lord, continue to guide us and bless us as we live generously for you. Almighty Father, giver of life and health, we also pray for LaVon Casey and for all who are sick and suffering. Grant that in the midst of pain they may be comforted by your presence and sustained by your love. If it be your gracious will, restore them to health. Lord, we also pray for all of those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week. Continue to bless them with your generous love and guide them in their generous love with each other. Lord, we also pray for the churches everywhere, that your love may overflow to more love to those who don't know you yet. Lord, guide us all so that we can be good bearers of your generosity to others. We ask everything in our Savior Jesus' name, who also taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right so to do.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not.
and a peace that endureth. Please join me on the second two verses of Beautiful Savior. Beautiful Savior, King of creation, Son of God and Son of Man. Promise through all time, written on the pages of your word, woven like a vine, throughout all the ages there we learn to
grave he rose, and now he lives, and to the branch eternal life he gives. You are the vine, I'm grafted to you, growing my strength in all that is true, gaining my courage to will and
We pray. O God the Father, source of all goodness, in your loving kindness you sent your Son to share our humanity. We thank you that through him you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We also pray that you will not forsake us, but will rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, so that we willingly serve you day after day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Please join me on the final hymn, I Love to Tell the Story. What a wonderful morning we've had learning about our Savior and all he's done for us. And in return, he asks us to go and teach all nations. Please note, after the first verse and the refrain, there's a musical interlude, and I'll bring you in on verse 2.
Satisfies my longing.
called Satan, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, though you will strike his heel. Of course, the story of Jesus' love was carried out in his life and announced by the Savior in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Thanks be to God.
Huge thank you to Kurt and Susan Luneberg for glorifying God through the word and through song this morning. A big, big thanks to them. Thank you very much for coming. God is good, and they certainly beautified the service today. Amen. All right, there are CDs available of Susan's in the lobby. You can grab those if you want. A donation is not required, but it is suggested. So find those in the lobby, and there's also some more information in there as well, right? Okay, in the church lobby there. Big thank you for yesterday for those who came out and pounded the pavement, as they say, as we canvassed Orangevale and told people about Jesus and what Easter meant and looking forward and inviting them to Easter. There still are invites for the pocket invites. There's also some other bigger ones that you can bring too that share with people. For this coming Easter, to tell them about the services. Those are in the church lobby as well. Let's see, this week is the last week here of Wednesday services in Lent. It's gone by pretty quickly, and God be praised, we get to glorify Him again this Wednesday. We'll have a supper then too, I believe it's served by the choir. So supper at 5:30 p.m. and then service here at 7 p.m. Principal Matt Bauer and his wife Sarah. Well, Matt is still holding a call to Great Plains Lutheran High School in South Dakota, Watertown, South Dakota. His wife Sarah also received a call from St. Martin's in Watertown, South Dakota. So continue to keep them in your prayers as they deliberate that, and any input that you want to give to them for their call, they are welcoming in any form that you can. Campus cleanup will come up here on the 24th. That's this Saturday. There's a big whiteboard, and it's a little too empty right now, to be honest with you. Let's get some people signed up on that so we can really beautify the campus and get ready for spring and summer. That's coming up on the 24th. I believe there's outdoor things to do and inside things to do, if you look at the board. So sign up, put your name down there. Even Gideon was formerly not signed up, but now is, apparently. So see what he can do. Maybe spreading mulch would be the best thing for him. All right, if you have not yet had a moment to return your thank offering commitment form for 2018, please do so so that we can have all that information, which helps us with ministry financial planning to look forward to budgeting and things. So please keep that on your minds and hearts as well. May God continue to bless you and show his generosity in your lives, and so we can reflect that same generosity to him. God bless you this week. Please stick around and greet one another.